we are back. That is right. After hitting 300,000 views, clicks, listens, whatever vernacular you want to use, we come before you with another episode, as well as great gratitude. Thank you for liking us. For we are all quite needy. I say we. I am your glorious host, Adam Pearson, leading you through this amazing, epic journey to probably Mount Doom, let's be honest, of disability, whataboutery, and what happenery, as well as a few merry other stories along the way. And as always, I am joined by the titans among men, my very good friends. First, not all disabled people are created equal, and not all of them should be tech support in any capacity. Mr. Simon Sampson, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Adam. How are you?
I'm doing good, sir. I'm doing good. It's been a really hot week. I've been like tearing through the soda stream.
I'm a box of sweats at night. It's absolutely nasty. Although I am getting air conditioning installed next week.
Of course you are.
Yeah.
Of course you are. I'm all grand. Loving it. And I am also joined by a man who technically has the exact same chances of winning Wimbledon as Naomi Osaka. Duncan, how are you, good sir?
I just don't know how to respond to that. It gets you every week. I don't know whether to be insulted or agreeing. Both are probably apt.
And you're doing good, are you?
I am good. I won't distress any viewers with the stories of my sweat. I'll leave it at that.
we'll leave it all up to the imagination. Yeah. Amazing. Thank you. Thank you, good sir. Even though I'm partially sighted, still don't want to see that. And finally, standing at 5'11", weighing in at 190 pounds, hailing from his room, he is the reigning, defending, conquering, still greatest editor in the world. How's it going, Chris?
It's good. What height was I? Did you say 5'11"?
I'm guessing, mate.
You are guessing, because I'm 6'3". I'd love to be 5'11". I'm very well.
Are you really 6'3"?
Yeah, I'm 6'3".
Wow, okay.
Doesn't look like it when I'm sitting down, though.
No, it doesn't.
I'm very well, mate. How are you?
Doing good, sir. Doing good. It's always a pleasure to be here. We've got a lot to talk about. So let's crack on with some of the content and get into our recurring segment, Stupid Questions.
The first one is, what's the hardest thing you've laughed at something you've seen on TV?
Oh, it's the granddad from Bread. Easily. Yeah, so years ago on the BBC, there was a TV show called Bread. And I don't know why, I don't know how, but granddad sent me into a laughing fit, so much so I started pissing myself before I was disabled. And I literally had a laughing attack where I couldn't stop for an hour and a half because something was so funny.
An hour and a half on Bread?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Am I thinking right that Bread is that one from 80s, 70s, something?
Yeah, 1980s. It was set in Liverpool or Manchester or wherever it was. And yeah, you got the family who come around every Sunday and they try and look after each other, but you know, they're all ultimately like scamming people and stuff, and but trying to keep it together as a family. Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on to Adam. What's the hardest you've laughed at something you've seen on TV?
I was watching Family Guy.
Okay.
And it was the episode with Ricky Gervais doing like a guest voice.
Yeah.
And there's just a really innocuous bit where Peter goes, I found a way to kill two birds with one stone. And then he just gets up, two birds, a rock, and crushes these birds at the dining room table. And I don't know why. I don't know whether it was because I was tired. But I just lost my mind slightly. And then I did what anyone would do and showed it to their mom, who nearly fainted, which made it funnier. And yeah, I had to go and have a good lie down. I didn't piss myself because I'm a grown up. But no, it was genuinely quite funny.
Duncan, what's your answer?
I think it's the first episode of Series 3 of the IT Crowd. When he gets trapped in the disabled toilet and he spends the whole episode trying to be disabled, pretend he's disabled. And there's this scene where he gets taken out to the disabled bus and he's on the back on the lift and it's this painful, slow rising of the lift. And it is a masterclass in timing and just how something is painful but hilarious at the same time. I love my ass off every time I see that episode. It is just gold, absolute gold.
That is my favourite episode of all time of the IT Crowd, because after being disabled, and he's trying to be disabled. And then you got, what's his name, the other chap?
Moss.
Thank you, Moss. Who ends up tending bar.
Yeah.
They were both really talented, though. They've gone on to do massive things, haven't they?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes. Hollywood stars.
Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely.
They go from Channel 4, nothing taken away from Channel 4. But
now, and regarding Family Guy, there was one thing Adam just reminded me of, and Quagmire is probably one of the best characters ever created, and he's in a shopping centre, and he looks at the CCTV, and he can see that a woman is choking to death in the changing rooms. Okay, so you've got a sequence where he goes, "Oh my God, she's choking, she's going to die." And he runs down the stairs, up the escalator, through the lift, through the shopping centre, gets to her and starts giving her CPR. And she goes, and she wakes up and goes, "Oh my God, thank you, give her CPR." And he goes, "Wow, what's CPR?"
The one that got me was Bottom. And I think this was when it was getting shown on BBC Two at 9 PM on Fridays, I think it was. But there was the one where they stole a BBC camera, and he was filming it. I'm trying to remember the host that got cancelled. He had grey hair.
Is that Kilroy?
Yes. And he was trying to be Kilroy, and I don't know how he did it, but he was walking down the stairs and he tripped. And I've slowed that frame down to see how he did it. And he falls, and his face, he's just a comedic genius, and then ends up in the toilet doing a handstand. And then Eddie comes in with the camera and then realizes he wants to do a You Being Framed skit instead.
Those two are just the Guest House Paradiso film, which is the Bottom film.
Yeah.
That whole fight scene is just unbelievable, absolute perfection.
I showed Bottom to my nephews for the first time last year, and they were on.
Can we just get that as a soundbite on its own?
I just realised. Yeah,
I showed Bottom the TV show to my nephews for the first time. Yeah, and they absolutely loved it. They thought it was ridiculously funny.
Duncan, you know that scene in Guest House Paradiso with the forge going up his nose?
Yes.
That's gone backwards. So that's Ed Emerson saying his line backwards and then the forge coming out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Because you can just about make it out when you know that and you watch it back. You hear him and it sounds a little bit odd, but you still understand it. And then you realise... But yeah, I found that out. Let's move on to the second question. Which of your bad habits would be the most difficult to give up?
Well, I don't know. But I've seen Adam pick his nose and eat it.
Oh, you don't, do you?
I. Simon's answer is cocaine.
Oh, I'm probably insulting my wife publicly.
What do you say to your wife out in town?
I have a habit on podcasts, so we've done Grumpy Dads, stuff like that. Mm. I seem to somehow manage to insult my wife unintentionally, far too often.
Yeah, calling a Buddha is very that's not avoidable, is it?
No, you see, you say that, but I was talking the slender Buddhas that with the crown things on and stuff. That not what everyone else took it the wrong way,
including your wife.
Including my wife. Yes.
Okay, let's go to Adam.
Much like Duncan, I'm very cutting, and I say things, and then often people get upset because they don't like comedy, and because they're snowflakes. And yeah, I have an ex-girlfriend where if she ever sees any of my, and there's only a few of them, stand-up videos online, I'm in a world of trouble. She will come around my house and kick my ass, and it won't be good. When we were dating, I did an open mic night, and I made one joke about her, and it was the most awkward commute home I've ever had. She was like, "I'd like you to explain that joke." And I'm like, it was pretty self-explanatory, I thought. And also, can't stress this enough, it was a joke, not a TED Talk. You should write a TED Talk. It was great. Mm. And so the joke was, I love my girlfriend. He makes me want to be a better person. And then the whole audience goes, "Oh." And then I went, "So I can get a better girlfriend." Oh. And yeah.
Are you single, Adam?
Currently no.
No.
We're not including OnlyFans clients.
Clients.
Then also no.
All right, let's move on to Simon.
I'm going to twist this one instead and say I'm practically perfect in every way. I showed Bottom to my nephews for the first time last year.
It's a good job we're on Zoom.
It's a very, very good job we're on Zoom.
Let's move on to the third question. Which is the best and worst accent in the UK?
Oh, dude.
I know. Oh, wow. I wanted to throw this one in. I really did.
I really like the Newcastle accent. I find it adorable.
Geordie, yep. I do like the Geordie accent.
And the worst, and I can say this because I live there, and it does exist, but the Croydon accent is just awful. And unironic,
Croydon.
It's like this sort of this unironic Ali G kind of thing. You get me? I'm gonna mumble half a sentence, and then I'm gonna go off at a really intricate moment in the conversation, or just really confuse you for. And sort of like throw off the whole damn thing, you know. He's the white guy. Okay, I
totally agree with that. That was where I was going to go with the worst, because it's not an accent. It's not a genuine accent. It's this sort of weird developed accent over the last 10, 20 years of people who speak in this kind of almost broken English when they're English. And I don't get it.
You don't get brought up like that, do you? You're not taught to speak like that. They've developed that themselves.
Yeah.
As a way to come across as hard or a gangster or some sort of roadman. I don't know. It's a good one. I'll tell you the best one. Mine is the Geordie. I do love the Geordie accent.
It's also amazing. Got a soft spot. Roller coaster, Pooper Scooper, Henry Hoover. It's amazing.
I also like the Scouse accent. I got a soft spot for the Scouse accent. I absolutely despise the Essex accent. I can't.
It's nails on a chalkboard.
It is. Maybe it's the TV show. I don't know. I'm not saying this about all people from Essex, but I've met four people from Essex, and they have been the biggest tools on the planet.
That's because most people who live in Essex leave school and education after primary school to become models.
I'm so glad he upped the offensive rate in Essex. Yeah, that's fine.
I'm kind of enjoying the irony that Simon suddenly become the one with the dodgy opinions.
Now, the best accent for me in the UK is because, right. So you know there's a thing in Friends with Ross, and he laminates his top five women.
Yes.
You know, okay. And I always think, you know, you've got a nice, good looking woman and she's got a nice accent, and put it two and two together and you get Alex Jones. Yeah, for the one show.
Okay.
Yeah. And she's on my top five easily. And I just think the Welsh accent does it for me. Okay. Absolutely.
Wales. What about the worst for you?
Oh, yeah, Essex, definitely. It's absolutely atrocious. As I said, I mean, you listen to these girls who speak from The Only Way Is Essex, and they haven't got a clue. They, you know, where's East Anglia? I thought it was abroad. You know, it's absolutely crazy. Oh, I mean, the intelligence level in Essex has got to be primary school level. It's absolutely obscene.
That, can I say that East Anglia reference is old school? That is like Series 4 Big Brother. That's where that's from.
No, there was one. They were saying, like, where's Barcelona? I thought it was in Japan or something or whatever it was. And I was like...
Oh, yes, that was...
Oh.
Love Island.
It was so hard to watch. I wanted to break my 80-inch TV. It was absolutely insane.
More humble bragging. You managed to turn an insult into a humble brag at the same time.
I wanted to drive my Ferrari straight into the wall afterwards.
That's right.
So annoying.
I was so annoyed I swerved my Lamborghini. Right?
It made me want to kill them, but I paid someone else to do it.
I spat out my caviar.
I don't like caviar. Don't worry about that.
I find that I haven't drunk Dom Perignon since.
Oh, I've laughed too much. I need to piss. Back in a minute.
Well done, Duncan.
And that was stupid questions, and we'll be back with those next week. If you've got a stupid question you'd like us to answer, you're completely free to keep it to yourself. Anyway, moving on. Duncan, what are we talking about?
It's something that sort of popped up yesterday, and I thought this is... it's just unbelievable. So along the same lines as what we went through with Colgate, with a completely different tack, a company, I'm not going to name them because I don't want to give them the credit of being named and advertised in any way. But it's basically a company that's developed an app that's supposedly supposed to help kids develop speech. And they're trying to tap into the SEND community with nonverbal autistic kids, by saying, you know, you can help your nonverbal autistic kids to learn to speak. And the way they've done this is with two images side by side, one of which is the pre-verbal or nonverbal child who's sitting there with a speech bubble with this mess scribbling just inside it, dribble coming out of the side of his mouth. It's a cartoon, but it's like this kid's sitting there. And then the aftershot, which is him with all the letters and words popping out and all that kind of stuff. The depiction of a nonverbal or pre-verbal child in that image is not just ableist, is not just offensive, it is absolutely disgraceful. And I hate that this kind of, we've said it a few times, and it's come up in conversation with me a few times with other people as well. There seems to be just this, we've come so far with so, I'm not saying by any means that we're there, we've come so far with so many of the world's isms, with racism, sexism, homophobia, the LGBTQ plus community, all that kind of stuff. It's all getting the right attraction of this needs to be fixed and needs to be sorted and we need to do something about it. When it comes to ableism, these depictions that are just outright offensive, it, unless it's picked up by the said community, it just gets glossed over. And it drives me insane.
Absolutely, because I saw it pop up on Twitter, and I looked at it, and I whilst I share your opinion and your outrage, I'd rather leave this to the parents who are in that community. But it's just another example of how many people did you not consult on this one to get it that wrong? Just the arrogance of it. Or if they'd been doing something about the BAME community, they'd have probably had a focus group or consulted, or maybe, I don't know, hired a BAME person. And the same right way across the other protected characteristics. I bet there's not one person who's disabled or disabled adjacent attached to that thing.
Yeah.
And it's just utterly, utterly ridiculous.
I don't think it went through any kind of committee whatsoever. I think it is... it's the kind of thing, isn't it? These things get developed and it's, you know, two blokes in their garage work something out. And it could be quite a good product. It could actually be helpful for all I know. I'll never know because I'll never give them the credit of giving them any money whatsoever to try and test it out. Because it's just, and it's this kind of thing where how are you going to represent a community or appeal to a community if you're just going to insult them to start with? And I just thought it was just, the problem is this stuff happens too often. And that's my issue. This is an example of it. But it's the fact that ableism is just so, people just don't care. It's just too much of a, yeah, whatever. And it's just so unrepresentative of what we are trying to achieve as a society. Well,
there is a petition now to have it removed on change.org. There is. Yeah.
We will put that in the description.
Absolutely, I think.
Yeah, we get it. Yeah, and so, yeah, because I mean, looking at it, I mean, I only came across this the other when you raised it, I didn't see it before.
Yeah.
And it is absolutely insulting and terrible. And it's the same child, basically looking depressed, and then oh look, he's happy, and that's it. Yeah. That's the only difference. It's completely offensive.
It's just ridiculous, polarizing kind of binary, kind of disability bad, non-disability good.
Yeah.
Thing, and it completely overlooks the fact that a lot of disabled people, a lot of people who are on the autism spectrum, can go on and live very fulfilled and successful lives. And it's
there's plenty of cases.
It's just so archaic, and I don't understand it.
How ironic! This is the same week that the movie of The Reason I Jumped's been released, which is. Exactly that, a non-verbal, you know, the book, The Reason I Jump, was written by a non-verbal autistic, but this kid, he wrote this amazing book. And yeah, absolutely. Just because he's non-verbal, the guy's so smart and so articulate and the film's being praised and rightly so from, I haven't seen it yet, but you've got just the two sides, the yin and the yang out together. You've got that amazing representation of autism and nonverbal and this horrible depiction that is just sickening.
I'm wondering if it's along the same lines as Autism Speaks and ABA therapy, that they prey on the fears of uneducated parents. They may not be at that stage and they may not be involved in the SEN community or not at that present time. So they portray their child as being this way because they can't communicate to their parents on how they feel. So the first thing that a parent would do if they didn't know, that would scare the hell out of me. If I didn't know what I knew, they would see that picture and see that the child is down and the way that they portrayed it. So is it kind of a con that they're just trying to pick up those parents that are scared and then suddenly, oh, this product will help?
Yeah.
That makes it infinitely worse for me.
It really does.
Yeah.
It's exploitative then.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a horrible tactic to pull. And like I said, we've gone through it with ABA therapy that they've tried to do the same sort of thing where a parent doesn't know. And if they did listen to the autistic community, they would find out exactly what it does. I think it's along the same lines.
Yeah, I totally agree. I just think it's disgraceful. And I think anyone watching, if you're wanting to appeal to the community, just research it. You know, and I'll hark back to Colgate on this because they just did the right thing afterwards. It was no way near on this level. But they took it seriously, they addressed it, and then they really engaged the community to reach out further and make sure that it doesn't happen again. And I don't see that happening with these guys. They seem to be just belligerently pressing on. And I think for the reasons that Chris has mentioned, I think it's all to do with shock tactics and scaring the, you know, people who are not yet educated enough in being, you know, parents to send kids that they know that this is an inaccurate representation and an offensive representation.
And that leads me nicely on to my little segment. Oh my God, GB News or GBBs. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. It's just it brightens my day. Ian Brighton wrote the Magnificent Seven. Apparently, no one in the graphics team can spell, and someone got coronavirus confused with a computer virus, and even their co-host nearly laughed at them on live TV. They don't know when they're on air and off air. Someone like Donald Bird is a cameraman thinking they weren't rolling when they absolutely were rolling. Mm-hmm. One of my friends who's like a wrestling YouTuber called in and about the is comedy getting too woke, and he did this video saying either everything's sunny or nothing's sunny, and what no one picks up on is that he's got his ass out and you can see it in the mirror in the background. and bloody what's Michelle Thornberry reading out emails from Mike Punch and Mike Oxlong.
In fact, even having a stroke. And Mike Oxlong has emailed me saying that he agrees with me.
Mike Hunt has got in touch about toys.
Yeah.
And the sound is awful. And it has no one thought, has no one, like, Simon, are you the sound guy for GB News?
No, I have watched a few hours of it now, and being someone who went to journalism school at De Montfort University, it kind of looks like that kind of production. It's not a professional setting. I mean, I don't know what the complaint was. I haven't read about it, but Dan Wiggin, who was part of the Daily Mail, had 371 complaints about his show. I mean, I haven't watched it, but there's nobody watching GB News because it only gets like 1.1% share of the daily total of things. And if you've got almost 371 people complaining, something's gone wrong.
I think so. It's a parody of itself, isn't it? It's just, it's Anchorman. It's modern day Anchorman, the film. It's so, so bad. And not just the technical hitches, but it's even bringing on these veterans, the BBC presenters, and you can see they're cringing at their own decisions.
there was a really good thing where Simon McCoy.
Yeah.
And he's like, if you're watching this on video, he had his head in his hands like this, and he's just like waiting for the screen to come back on, and all of a sudden he just pops his head back up. Oh, I'm back on.
I was thinking, what
have I done to my career?
What's happening with the levels? Oh, we're back. Jesus.
But I mean, it will last because people, you know, although, this is the thing. It's not getting many views, okay, as in viewership, okay? However, on social media, they are rocking it. You know, things are getting retweeted a million times. Things are being watched a couple of million times. So social media is where they're getting all their advertising from and all the people watching it.
A lot of advertisers pull away. Guys like Copperberg, IKEA, yeah. Spectators. Yeah.
And then I went out and bought Copperberg yesterday just because of it.
Yeah, no, shame. I bought five. And there's this ridiculous kind of right-wing kind of, oh, go woke, go broke hashtag. It's like, yeah. They'll regret it. And I'm really just thinking, yeah, because when Nike supported Colin Kaepernick, they went bankrupt really fucking quickly, didn't they? No, they didn't. They made $6 billion. You morons.
They're funded from overseas, though, aren't they? We're talking billionaires that are funding this.
But it's the Americanization of news, isn't it? Yeah.
It will survive. And I think in a couple of years' time, they'll have brand new sets. They'll have a brand new setup. They'll get rid of all the ones who can't actually work there because they're terrible at their jobs. The ones who can spell, that'll be an interesting one. Yeah, it will survive.
Moving over to Simon now, and Simon, I'm going to let you explain this to everyone, but I wasn't surprised when I heard it. You got thrown at an arcade in Skegness, didn't you?
I did get thrown out of an arcade in Skegness. I went there with my nephew and niece and my wife for the day out. We went to Inga Mills. My parents were camping on a campsite nearby in their camper van. And we went there for a barbecue for the day to have, you know, have fish and chips by the sea and get an ice cream. And it was supposed to be a really nice day out. And up the road from where my parents were stopping, there are some arcades, and this one was called Bells. We went in there. I was on my mobility scooter. The reason I took my mobility scooter is most people know I'm disabled from the waist down. I can't walk. And if it's going to be a long day, my mobility scooter is a lot more comfortable and agile than my wheelchair, because my wheelchair can get really uncomfortable. And also as well, it goes further as well. So if you're taking a long walk down by the sea, you need something which is going to last. So my mobility scooter, believe it or not, is actually the same length as my wheelchair. We went to this arcade. We put our mask on, went to get my change. And I was playing on there on the games for about half an hour. And all of a sudden, an employee came up to meet me. And we found out later it was her first job. She's 19 years old. And she said, "I'm sorry, you're going to have to leave." I went, "Excuse me?" She said, "Yes, I'm sorry. Management have decided we can't have mobility scooters in the arcade." And I went, "Well, it's not." I explained, "I'm paralyzed from the waist down. And, you know, what you're doing, I'm a journalist." I explained I was a journalist, and what you're asking me to do is illegal. It's disability discrimination. And she said, "Sorry, management have made the decision." Now, this wasn't her talking by any means whatsoever. She's very inexperienced. It's her first job. She's 19 years old. She's probably at university or something along those lines, or still in college. And it was what management decided. And I immediately went across the road and did a video, which then went viral. And while I was at the campsite, I tried to call Bell's Amusements to get a comment from them, because I knew I was going to write a blog about this. But they weren't picking up. I got told that we're in an emergency meeting, because it's gone viral at this point. At the time, I just thought it was hilarious. But later on that evening, I was actually quite upset about it. And I went, "This is complete discrimination." But we've heard nothing from Bells whatsoever. And their comment to the press was, and the national media was, "We're not going to discuss this issue until we've spoken to Mr. Sansom." Well, I'm here. And I've been here for 2.5 weeks now, almost 3 weeks, and you've still not contacted me.
I think I'm a big fan of revenge. To quote The Simpsons, there's nothing like revenge for getting back at people. I think you should buy the company and just shut it down. Buy it, burn it down, clean the insurance. Well,
do you think? I'm coming in devil's advocate here.
Go on.
This isn't necessarily my opinion, playing the devil's advocate, as I say. But do you think it was a miscommunication in that you do get people who aren't paralysed using motor scooters? And if you get too many of them in there, it creates a health and safety issue. And so she's just been told no mobility scooters. And she hadn't had the presence of mind to, okay, this isn't the normal situation of somebody who's on a motor scooter who can get up and walk around and then go back to it. They thought it was, and you know, she should have handled it differently, but didn't have the presence of mind to. Do you think it was that miscommunication?
No, I think she was doing her job. She got told by management to ask people in mobility scooters to leave, and that's what she was doing. But on this occasion, this arcade is quite a big space. I could get around there on my mobility scooter quite easily. However, Ingemels is a bit like the cheap version of Florida, where everyone's got a mobility scooter and everyone can't be bothered to walk anywhere because they all get on mobility scooters and go down the pub and just get off their scooters and go in.
That's what I'm getting at.
So there are a lot of people on there who use mobility scooters, but you don't know who's genuine and who's not. But you can't ban everyone, especially if they've got a special circumstance like myself. You either accept everyone or you accept no one.
Well, Duncan does make a valid point there, except they've kind of incriminated themselves by not getting in touch anyway. Because if it was a miscommunication, if it was my business, I'd be driving to your front door. I'd be driving to your front door.
They can't get in.
Yeah, I'd be on my hands and knees apologising. I would then be going to the press and everything to say that I've rectified it and that we've put measures in place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It shows that because they haven't done this, and while you had a go at Essex, I know sort of that area quite well, it is the back end of society. It is backwards. It is incestual. It's everything that Britain shouldn't be. It is the place that time forgot and society has just been stuck there. It is the vilest place. And I would never, ever set foot in Skegness after living in close proximity of that place for a year. It's backwards. I'm not surprised it happened, to be honest. I'm really not. Really not.
And if you're in Skegness and would like to sponsor our podcast,
what with buttons?
I mean, I'm getting to the point where if they were going to reverse the decision and do something about it and input measures, then yes. That's what I was trying to get to originally. That's why I went to the press. They've clearly seen it. They've clearly responded to it. And by not doing anything whatsoever and just carrying on the way they are.
Here we are. Here's how I think we could solve this problem, Simon. I think if you have a mobility scooter and you don't actually need one, if you are just lazy, you should have your mobility scooter confiscated and replaced with a space hopper with your face on the front. And you have to ride that everywhere instead of your mobility scooter.
Mm. Are you just looking for an excuse to sit on Simon's face there?
And on that wonderful note, go Skegness, we're going to go into our final segment, Silly Stories from the News. I'm terrified to ask this question. Chris, what have we got?
It's not as bad as what you think this week. It's more a sign of what society is like at the moment. Third eye invented to stop smartphone zombies from bumping into things. A South Korean industrial designer says a robotic eyeball can be strapped to a person's forehead, allowing them to browse injury-free.
Actually, I could see this working because, especially when I'm around London, okay, I'm in my mobility scooter and I don't say get out of the way or anything more. I say look up. And they respond to look up rather than... yeah, get out of the way, because they don't pay any attention to get out of the way. But if you say look up, because they're on their phones, it makes a big difference.
I like that. It's less insulting as well, isn't it? It's not giving them a get out of the way. It's kind of look up, and then they make their own decision to move out the way or they get mowed over. But
I'm all for this invention. I love it. The amount of people that just walk around toilet and just looking down at their phones doing like insignificant things. And it's like, what are you doing that's that important that you're like walking with your head down looking at your, like, if this is granted, if it's an emergency, rock and roll. But if it really was an emergency, wouldn't they call you? Like, it's like no one's ever going, oh, let's try to look at this. Your house is on fire. We should probably call the fire brigade. Lol. Then. Like, that's not how emergencies work. So, yeah, look, I agree with Simon. Like, look up. Put your phone away. Talk to real people.
You guys have all seen Wall-E, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think we're just getting closer and closer to this society?
Yeah, very much so, yes.
It's just sad. It really depresses me that this is needed. It all comes back to the astronaut pen. The NASA sent people up into space and they discovered that because there's no gravity, they can't use a ballpoint pen. So NASA go away and spend millions of pounds developing a pen that you can use upside down and whatever thing without gravity, and it still functions. The Russians, faced with the same problem, used a pencil.
Yeah.
And they say, it's just like you say, look up. It's,
yeah.
No, I'd rather have a stupid thing plastered to my head so I look like I'm constantly caving.
I think we've got to mention, an honourable mention for a silly story this week, which was intriguing, and I've never heard of it before. There was a bloke this week who is a crab fisherman, okay, and he got swallowed by a whale.
Was his name Jonah?
Yeah, I was going to say. How have you not heard of this before? I'm pretty certain it's in the Bible.
He was in there for about a minute and a half and he spat him back out alive.
I wonder if he was starfished in his throat not to get ingested. Hanging on for dear life. Pulling at his tonsils.
Was this man actually just a puppet that wanted to be a real boy?
I'm just hoping he was a smoker. I like the idea of coming out, landing back in the boat. And that was an experience, wasn't it? Yeah. Pull off the glasses, give him a clean.
It would have been more interesting. It would have been more interesting if you got shot up through the spell. Yeah.
This all got really Finding Nemo very quickly, didn't it? Anyway, let's move on. How am I gonna pull us out of this? Don't you can just hold it and launch it. And on that wonderful blowhole note, time for us to leave. So, but before we do, let's get in our cheap plugs. Mr. Duncan Caswell, where can people find you, good sir?
You find me on Twitter, PDADadUK.
Mr. Chris, where can people find your good self on the old interwebs?
Same Twitter, and it's The Real Grump Dad.
And Simon, the Hammer Samson, where can they find you?
Yeah, Ability Access on Instagram, Facebook, Simon Samson on LinkedIn, and Facebook Ability Access.
And you can find me on the old Twitter sphere at Adam_Pearson for all of your rantings. If you're a pro wrestling fan, you're going to like me. And we will see you all for the next episode. But from myself, Adam Pearson, and from the rest of the Grumpy Gits, have a good one. See you soon.
Take care.